This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. And our spot on the map this morning is a little town in Western Australia. And even though it only has a few thousand people, it has one of the most diverse populations of any town in Australia. It's also important in the history of electricity in Australia, and it has the biggest sheep sale yard in the Southern Hemisphere. We are talking about Katanning in Western Australia, where Arthur Todd is a long-time resident and the man behind the website Lost Katanning. Arthur, a very good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Rod.
Now, a lot of people may have heard of the town of Katanning, but they may not know where it is. So where exactly is Katanning?
Katanning is in the Great Southern region of Western Australia. It's on the Great Southern Highway between Perth and Albany, about midway.
How far from Perth would it be?
About 320 kilometres.
Okay. Now, the name is an unusual one, and it's a great name, but where does the name Katanning come from?
Look, there's a number of different ideas being put forward, but no one's really sure. One is that it was named after an Aboriginal woman, Kate Anning. Another one says it comes from Aboriginal word meaning meeting place with water, because there were three separate tribes that met here. And there have been a number of others, so I can't really give you a definitive answer on that.
But boy, there are a lot of towns that have a name that means meeting place of the waters.
Anything ending with up.
In Western Australia.
In Western Australia.
Yeah.
Means there was water there and the Aboriginal people would meet there, yep.
Alrighty. How many people live in Katanning?
Only about 4,250, something like that.
And you know all of them?
I was saying to my wife the other day, the longer I live in Katanning, the less people I seem to know.
But what kind of a town is it? Is it a very friendly town? Is it a town where everyone will gather on a Saturday morning in the main street? What sort of a place
is
Katanning?
Well, it's an interesting community. It's probably the most multicultural, diverse town in Western Australia, with something like over 28 different nationalities and cultures, including our first Australians.
Yep. And why have so many different nationalities been drawn to Katanning?
We have a large modern abattoir here that's been here since about around 1970, and it's been rebuilt, and it's now the largest sheep processing abattoir in Western Australia.
So that means that there are people coming from the Middle East, perhaps?
Middle East, Cocos Keeling Islands, you name it, they come from wherever. Most of the product slaughtered at the abattoir goes to Middle Eastern and therefore Muslim communities. So the meat is slaughtered halal, and hence we have probably 10% of our community is Muslim. And the national average is about 2.2%.
So what does that mean for the town? Does that mean that Katanning is a far more accepting town, that you meet Muslims on a daily basis and that you find out that they're just like the rest of us?
The kids go to school, they work in businesses around town, they play sports, they're involved 100% in the community. And I was about to say, with that multicultural diversity, Katanning has absolutely no racial problems, no racial tensions. Everybody gets on with everybody else. And in fact, the town's actually been studied a few times, and once by a university in Sydney, to find out why it is so harmonious.
What was the answer?
My thought is, because of the size of our community, everybody has to live next door to everybody else. Where in the larger communities, ghettos form of various nationalities, and of course when that happens they bring their hatreds, their prejudices, their things with them, and of course we don't like those people, so there's problems arise where that doesn't happen here and everybody gets on and lives together. Why? I mean, that was just my personal outlook on it.
That is great news for Katanning, and certainly it's a way that other towns can learn from you. Let's go back, though, to the start, when white people, in fact, English settlers or Irish settlers, were the ones coming to Katanning. When did that happen and why did they go there in the first place?
Probably the first exploration of the area was done by a chap by the name of John Septimus Rowe in 1835. And then during the 1840s, a chap by the name of Elijah Quatermain was herding sheep from Beverley, which is probably 250 kilometres north of here. He was herding sheep down here after finding water and pasture, and it was a local Aboriginal community that showed him where to find the water. And he did that for quite a few years, and then he would herd them back to Beverley for shearing. He then decided, well, this is a bit hard, travelling backwards, and, well, I'm assuming he thought that. And he decided that he would apply to purchase some land, which he did. And so he was the first European settler in the area, and he named his property Yowanup, and the up because there was water there. And until just last year, the property was still in the hands of the Quatermain family.
Wow.
And around that time, there were also sandalwood cutters. There was a lot of sandalwood here, and they were cutting sandalwood and carting it by pack horse to Albany on the south coast for shipment to Asia. Elijah Quatermain was then followed by a chap by the name of Thomas Haddleton, who leased land soon after Quatermain and named that Coompertown. And then there were further settlers started to take up land around the same area. And it's interesting, the first six settlers in the area had over 60 children between them.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. And those original families, those six original families, there are still descendants from all of them living in the area, and a lot of them are still on the original farms.
Well, Alan Quatermain, of course, the famous Western Australian footballer. Obviously, he is one of the Quatermain family from Katanning.
He sure is.
So let's go back before that, though, and that's to the Indigenous presence. Obviously, if there is water there, there is likely to be people living there. What do we know about the history of the Indigenous people in the area we now know as Katanning?
They were nomadic people, and they would meet here because of the water, and because it was water and feed. Then there was kangaroos and other animals that they could feed themselves with. I've got a website called lostkatanning.com, and I have got a pretty comprehensive history of the Katanning, but I feel I've only got half of it because it's very difficult to find information on the history of the Noongar community, and particularly the families that were originally in this area. And so I don't really have a lot. Information on those families, and I would dearly love for anyone that has information and are prepared to share it, I would love to hear from them.
I suppose the question is also, is it up to you to tell their story?
No, it's not. That's why I need them to talk to me so I can put their stories up.
That's a very good point. Arthur Todd is our guest in Katanning, and as you heard, lostkatanning.com is his website, and you can find out all about the earlier days of the town. What's been lost in Katanning, do you think, Arthur?
Well, I think pretty much the same as what's been lost in a lot of communities, and we seem to be less neighbourly. Like, you can't walk the streets like you used to. You can't leave your doors open like you used to. I mean, pretty much the same as anywhere else. Now, I named it Lost Katanning. I was inspired by a Facebook page called Lost Perth, where they were putting up photographs of what buildings used to be like and who the people were and what events were being held and all that sort of stuff. And so I thought, well, I'll go along with the same name, Lost Katanning. So we're not lost. We're still here, and we'll be here for a while. The streetscape, the old streetscapes that you see in those old photos is pretty much the same streetscape today. The town hall was opened in 1900. It is still there. The mill was built in 1888. It's still there. The F&C Peace Building was double-storey. Building was designed by a Victorian architect. That's still there. The Katanning Hotel, built in about 1912, is still there. King George Hostel, built around the same time, is still there.
So why has Katanning been able to preserve these buildings when in so many other places they've been knocked down?
Well, a lot of them have been repurposed. Some of the businesses are still there. I suppose Katanning, because of Frederick Peace, who's considered the founder of Katanning, because he built so much, there really wasn't a lot of need until recently for a lot of expansion. So, and when the expansion was needed, there was still room to expand. So there was no need to knock down the old buildings.
Like the old Baptist Church. What is that these days?
The old Baptist Church is now a Chinese restaurant.
Now that is a strange...
And a very good Chinese restaurant.
I'm sure it's a wonderful Chinese restaurant, but that is a very strange transformation, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. In fact, the reason it became a restaurant was the Baptist community bought Frederick Peace's family home, which is an amazing two-story building up on top of the hill overlooking Katanning. And that was built in about 1904, when Katanning was in its absolute infancy. So you've got this amazing home that has 17 rooms plus kitchens, pantries and laundries. So they've taken that over. They use it as their church and also as accommodation these days. But that home was the first home in Western Australia to have hot and cold running water and electric power.
What, in the entire state?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Well, that happened when Frederick Peace built the mill. He built the mill in the mid-18 or late 1890s. And at the time, the Fremantle Town Committee had ordered a power plant. And when it arrived here, they realised it was too small to power Fremantle. So Peace bought it and set it up when he set the mill up. But of course, it was too big. Well, not too big. It was bigger than what he required. So he provided the electricity to Katanning from that time. And that's why Katanning was the first place in Western Australia to have electric street lighting.
They bought the electricity power for Fremantle. It was too small for Fremantle, but not too small for Katanning. It was because it was able to power the flour mill.
And he ran the power up to the house and then he branched off.
Right. He powered his own house after the flour mill, and then everybody else got in on the act after that.
He charged them for power. In fact, the mill provided the town's power right up until 1961.
That's quite a remarkable thing for Katanning to have. Did that mean that it boomed? When was the boom time for Katanning?
The town started to really develop after the construction of the Great Southern Railway. The Great Southern Railway had been built to as far as Beverley, which is north of here, and then it was decided they would extend the railway through to the south coast at Albany. Now, construction started from both ends. It started from Beverley and Albany on the same day, on the 20th of October 1886, and they built the line over a total distance of 243 miles. Now, the two ends met about 5 kilometres out of Katanning, where the final spike was driven on 14th of February 1889. And the reason, I suppose, that Katanning came into being as a town is Frederick and Charles Peace had a business in Williams, which they sold, and they then provided a mobile store to follow the rail gang down from Beverley and to provide them with their provisions and what have you. And of course, as the line extended, a train could run down from Perth.
Why was the connection made, the two sections of the line, outside the town? Is there a railway station in town?
Yep. It's a large railway station, and it was a very large railway town. Back when I arrived here, I was working for the railways back in 1969. There are 106 people employed by the railways in Katanning.
Good Lord.
Today there's none, sadly.
And so does the train still stop there?
The only trains we have is the occasional grain train.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh, and then Albany Highway is so jam-packed full of trucks, and a lot of that could still be carted, in my opinion, on rail. But that's another story. Don't get me started.
All right. No, it's one that I certainly agree with you. Arthur Todd is our guest in Katanning in Western Australia. What about some well-known names? Now, I mentioned Alan Quatermain, who would be very well-known to Western Australian football fans, but what about some of the other well-known people who've come from Katanning or maybe passed through Katanning at some stage?
Yep, Jeff Farmer played football for Melbourne and for the Fremantle Dockers.
Yep.
Go the Dockers. He lived in Tambola, which is a town adjacent to us, but he played his football pretty much in Katanning, and he was one of the boys that I used to take away to Country Week football in Perth. Peter Bell from Kojanup, which is another town adjacent. He knows that these towns have all got up from the end of them.
They do.
And he played for Kojanup, but also played a lot of his football in Katanning. John McGrath, who is state politician now, he started his journalistic career in Katanning. Styx Brayshaw, Ian Brayshaw of ABC fame.
Indeed.
And other...
A long career in Shield cricket for Western Australia. Took 10 wickets in an innings, one of only three to do it in Australian first-class history. What, he came from Katanning?
No, he didn't come from Katanning, but he started his journalistic career at the Great Southern Herald in Katanning, which I managed for 20 years.
Good Lord, how about that?
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yep.
So there are a few.
Can I throw a couple more in? Mark Williams, who won a premiership with Hawthorn.
Yes, his mum and dad still live here.
Yeah. Kevin O'Halloran, he won a gold medal at the 1956 Melbourne Olympics.
He's actually from Kojanup.
Yes, fair enough.
I mean, we'd love to claim him, but he's actually from Kojanup.
But he must have spent some time in Katanning. What about Percy Gratwick? He was a VC recipient in World War II.
Yes.
What about the memorial, the war memorial in town? What can you tell us about that?
There's two war memorials. One's the RSL Memorial, which is in the centre of town. It has a little bit of lawn and a grass and roses and what have you. Now, that's only quite small. It's on the corner as you cross over the railway line. Now, the main war memorial is on a place called Prosser Park. And Prosser Park was donated to the community by a lady by the name of Mabel Prosser. And alongside that war memorial, which has a statue of a soldier on top, there is a cannon that was captured by the Australian forces and brought back to Australia. And when they decided to distribute the spoils of war around the state, Katanning was allocated one of these cannons that was captured from the Turks in the Middle East and built by the Germans.
And what about on Anzac Day? Is there a major dawn service at Katanning?
We have a dawn service. And then we have a march in town at about 11 o'clock.
Now, we did mention all those sports stars. We should mention also Lydia Williams. She is currently playing in the National Soccer League, Women's National League in the United States, but has played for Australia. She played for Australia at the World Cup. As a goalkeeper, she came from Katanning.
She did, and her family's still here. And she played several games, in fact, with the women's soccer.
Yes, indeed.
And but these days she's still currently playing in the US.
But she has played for quite a few clubs, in fact, but got her career in Katanning in Western Australia. What about the movies, TV shows? Anything been filmed in Katanning?
Well, we have, I think it's on SBS.
Oh, yeah.
A trucker show. Well, a Yogi Kendall, who is very popular on that show, he's based in Katanning.
Your TV star is a truckie on SBS.
Yes, and he's a very likeable chap.
I'm sure he is.
And just recently, he decided that he would start up Great Southern Heart, and he called for donations of hay so that he could cart on his road train hay to the drought-stricken areas in New South Wales. Well, that ended up with 16 road trains loaded with hay. And he also organised a heap of gift vouchers from Woolworths, which were distributed to families to use in their own areas. In fact, there's still a bit of hay here, and he's just got to figure out when he can get over there. So yeah, he's a great community guy, and he's certainly on TV. We've had quite a few tourist-type shows done through Katanning as well.
What about the future of Katanning, Arthur? Has it got a bright future?
Like all communities, the retail sector is struggling, and that's because of the changing buying habits of people. But it has a very positive future, and in fact, the old mill was purchased by the Dome Coffee Group. That's right through Western Australia and through the Middle East and in Malaysia and around those areas. They bought the mill off the Shire for a dollar. However, there was a proviso that they spend a minimum of $4 million to restore it.
Okay.
They have retained its character. They have restored the machine, the original machinery, and it's still in place. And the ground floor is a cafe. A very good cafe, I might add. And the top two stories are now the Premier Mill Hotel, because it was called the Premier Flour Mill when it was built. So the Premier Flour Mill has 22 rooms. And then they discovered there was a basement, so they dug that out, and that's now a wine bar.
What a great use of the space.
There's actually so much for people to see and do in Katanning, and a lot of people, in fact, a lot of Katanning people don't even realise. And the sheep sale yards... Now, the sheep sale yards have just been built, or the new ones. They're the largest undercover sheep selling complex in the Southern Hemisphere, and people can go there and watch about 15,000 to 20,000 sheep a week being sold through that facility. They can actually stand there and watch it all happening. They have an amazing restaurant out there that's well worth going and having a bite. There's an eco house in town that is made from straw and is completely self-reliant. We have a large number of Edwardian and Federation-style homes and castle-like ruins from the old winery, which was owned by Peace. They can play golf all year round on a fully grassed and reticulated golf course, which is very rare in hot, dry Western Australia. And something that people can also put on their dates is the 16th of March in 2019, or every year, we have what we call the Harmony Festival, where all these cultures come together to show off their culture, their food, their dress, and how we all live together.
It sounds like a blueprint for the rest of Australia, Katanning. Arthur, thank you very much for telling us about it this morning. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to promote this amazing little town wherever and whenever I can.
And that's Arthur Todd. He's the man behind the website Lost Katanning. In Katanning, in Western Australia, our spot on the map this morning. And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.